In it here now, what are you gonna do now? I've been on here now, who bid $500,000 bid?
Welcome to the Legacy of Agriculture. This program will explore the past, present, and future of agriculture. We'll look at the people, products, and events that have formed its history. And now with today's guest, your host, Chris Baer.
Good morning, everybody. This is Chris Baer, your host of the Legacy of Agriculture. Thank you for joining us on this busy fall, or should I say almost early winter day. Fall is now slowly passing us by, and we're getting introduced back into the winter weather here in South Dakota in the upper Midwest. And today, Andrew from Thompson Law is joining me again, and we're recording in at their conference, one of their conference rooms here in Sioux Falls. Andrew, thank you for joining me today. How's it going?
So far, so good. Thanks for having me, Chris.
We did a Legacy of Agriculture with Andrew not long ago and talked an awful lot about planning and estate planning and some taxes. And I wanted to come back and review. We had a lot of telephone calls from people that were asking questions. So I thought it'd be a great idea as we're entering into the winter season and coming to the close of 2024, doing some more tax planning, doing some more estate planning, working on trusts, that we revisit this from an informational standpoint. And so, Andrew, how'd you like our last show?
I thought it went really well. It's one of those topics that you could, each subset of that topic you could talk for an hour on. And so we have to be a little broad, in how yep. we approach these things. But and inevitably, we might introduce a detail or two that produces more questions than it answers. But that's, why you have experts, I guess.
Yeah, that is true. So we're now post-election, and the Legacy of Agriculture does not ever get into politics. That's one of my rules. But we've got to talk just a little bit about politics and the effects of what's happening post-presidential election as we are coming into the first of 2025, and what that looks like. And so that was the path that I wanted to go down with Andrew. He has a ton of experience in some of these matters. And let's talk about the changes that you're foreseeing in the near future.
Yeah, it's interesting because for the last several years, we've been under this new tax reform that was done in 2017, this Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, or the Trump Tax Cuts, it was called back then. This is the largest tax reform that has occurred since 1986. And so we did a lot of changes in 2017, took effect 2018, and most of it had an 8-year sunset, and meaning that all of these tax changes were going to expire and revert to the old law at the end of 2025. Unless Congress does something, passes new tax reform. And so as we were looking towards these elections, that was very unlikely, as in nothing was going to change and we were going to hit a fiscal cliff next year unless one party was going to sweep the elections. Right. So what happened was exactly what happened 2 weeks ago. And depending on when you listen to this interview, right? Things can change daily, right? But what we know today, as
5 years go, they're going to go, why did they do that podcast, right?
But what's interesting is that we know a lot more today than we thought we were going to know because of the decisiveness of the election. And so what I thought I'd take us through today is the Trump administration is going to have to deal with certain things in 2025, and they're geared up to deal with a whole lot of things, right? But one of the things that must be addressed are taxes. And right. we're talking across the board, everything from income taxes to depreciation deductions to all sorts of different things that we're going to talk about. And now we have a little bit more clearer signal about where that's going to go. Because if they don't address this, if they don't tackle tax legislation this year, then most of these things are going to expire and the tax laws will become much less favorable. But right. they've, both houses of Congress, the leaders and, the Trump advisors, they're all geared up and they're ready to address this. And we're going to talk about their proposals and what is frankly likely going to happen over the course of the next maybe 6 months or so. And this will have a large impact on all of our taxes, and specifically big changes, you know, for potentially for 2026 and beyond. You know, so some of the things that, you know, they have to deal with in 2025 and 2026 is that we have, you know, tariffs, of course, that everyone's talking about. We have immigration, deportation. We have Ukraine and Israel. Major cuts to government spending they want to do, right? And addressing all sorts of judge appointments. And those are all things that could happen in 2025 or 2026. Obviously, some of those things will happen right away, like we're potentially thinking tariffs right away. But the tax stuff has to happen in 2025. And some of the things we're going to talk about are the individual income tax rates, the capital gains tax rates, changes to deductions and credits. The estate tax is set for a major change unless they do something. Certain ways that farmland is valued at death could be majorly changed. Bonus depreciation might come back. And I'll go into these more so in detail. But
okay.
But right before I do, you know, there's tariffs, right? And
right.
I don't think anybody who's in the agricultural industry is naive to the fact that that could make a pretty large impact on your lives over the next year or two. If you recall what happened in 2018 and 2019, there was, you know, tariffs put in place and against China in particular. And, you know, some of Trump's proposals are kind of blanket tariffs across the board for any foreign country. Certain countries are called out. You know, China, he has proposed a 50% or 60% tariff. And, you know, in 2018, when that occurred, you know, there was a trade war with China, which hurt the soybean market quite a bit because China retaliated. They're likely to retaliate again and, you know, push some of that soybean buying over back to Brazil and you know, it's going to hurt the industry. But again, in 2019, you know, there was new subsidies and money to farmers from the government to make up for it, right?
Sure.
So there's going to be pain for sure in the short term if there's major tariffs. And we're going to see how that's remedied, I guess.
Yeah, there's always an equal and opposite reaction. We know that, correct, in the marketplace.
Well, you hope there's an opposite reaction, but, you know, because if it's just a trade war, you know, things could get a little squirrely, and particularly the soybean market, and we'll just have to see. But I think in the past, after 2018 and 2019, where all said and done, you know, everything turned out just fine. So maybe the alarmist, you know, sentiments are not really warranted. We'll see.
Well, there's one thing about change. It's going to happen.
Yes.
And sometimes it's good change and sometimes it's bad change. But anyways, we've got Andrew Knutson from Thompson Law right here in downtown Sioux Falls, South Dakota. We appreciate Andrew for taking time out of his busy schedule to be with us. I just want to make note that we've got a long list of auctions. I want to give a shout out to our sponsor, Pfeiffer Auction and Realty, for sponsoring the Legacy of Agriculture. They've been our sponsor from the very beginning and have been great sponsors. But if you're looking to have a land auction or a machinery auction in the spring of 2025, you'll definitely want to call one of the good people at Pfeiffer Auction Realty. Or if you're just looking to be a buyer, you want to go to our website at pfeiffers.com. That's P-I-F-E-R-S.com. Or simply call our office at 605-836-2277. That's our telephone number into our Southern South Dakota office. Again, we'll be right back with the Legacy of Agriculture.
Hey, this is Jasmine at Pfeiffer's Auction Realty and Land Management. Pfeiffer's offers multiple ways to bid and buy at our equipment and land auctions. You can bid online, in person, or place pre-bids before the sale even starts. By providing convenient bidding platforms, we make sure that you can buy the items or parcels you want the way you want to. Visit Pfeiffers.com to see a complete list of our auctions. When it comes to bidding, go with Pfeiffers. Nobody does it better.
Hey, everybody, we're back. It's Chris Baer, your host of the Legacy of Agriculture. Andrew Knudsen, thank you for joining me from Thompson Law Office in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Before we go any further, Andrew, we're going to tackle some of the tax issues in 2025. But those of you that are listening to the radio show or listening to us on Apple, Spotify, or watching us on YouTube, give us your contact information, Andrew. So if people have questions as they're listening to the show, they can jot this number down and give you a call. What's your telephone number here?
Yeah, 605-362-9100. And, you know, if you Google Thompson Law, Sioux Falls will come up, and that's always a good way to get a hold of us, too, through our website.
That's how I always get a hold of you.
There you go.
Yeah. Google does everything, right? So let's talk about, in our first segment, we were talking about the freight train that's coming down the road or down the tracks, but let's be a little more specific and let's talk about some of the individual income tax and talk about some capital gains tax, state and local tax deductions. Let's talk about some of those topics and what you're seeing from an estate planning perspective.
Yeah, so like I said, with the decisiveness, I guess, of the elections, we have a little bit more clearer picture of the tax proposals that'll probably and likely pass. So the reason that being is that almost all tax legislation can be done through a majority vote in the Senate and the House. You're not even dealing with the filibuster at that point.
Right.
Because you do it through what's known as reconciliation. And so a lot of this, and that's how the tax cuts in 2017 and 2018 passed in the first place, was by just majority vote. So now that there is a majority, we have, now obviously there's infighting that can occur, but it seems like that the majorities in both houses of Congress are fairly more aligned than they were back then. So the proposed tax changes, you know, if Congress does nothing, all of our individual income tax rates would generally increase 2-3% across the board in 2026. However, one of the proposals is, and you know, Trump's platform wanted this Tax Cuts and Jobs Act to be made permanent. And so right now the highest income tax bracket, you know, goes from 10% all the way up to 37%. It was going to go up to 39.6%, but that's not likely to happen anymore. It's likely that the income tax rates will likely stay mostly where they're at. That would be the prediction of most advisors. And maybe some possible margin changes. And what I mean by that is, you know, if it took, you know, $500,000 to reach the top rate for a married couple, maybe they'll up that a bit so that you might be in a lower rate but have made the same level of income and that kind of thing.
Right.
So we're looking at, instead of tax, you know, the actual percentage rates going up, we're looking at them probably just continuing to stay the same. Okay. So the top rate's probably going to stay that 37%.
Okay.
Now, capital gains tax, you know, is a tax on capital assets, which are, you know, land, stocks and bonds, investments, large machinery and equipment. And so a lot of what people have, a lot of what farmers have are capital assets, right? And when you sell those assets, they're subject to capital gains tax. And so you, right now, those capital gains tax rates, you know, vary from zero all the way up to 20%. The Trump administration has proposed maybe a 15% top tax rate, lowering again the capital gains rates. I don't know if that'll happen, but that's one of the things they proposed. And something too to remember on this, on all of these various proposals, to do them all would cost maybe more than we can afford to do. So we're going to see where they're pick and choose here on some of these campaign promises. Most likely won't be fulfilled, but this is what's being proposed. And I think with another thing with the capital gains tax is, you know, if I buy an acre of land for $1,000 and, you know, years go by and now it's worth $10,000, you know, if I sold that, I'd have a $9,000 gain subject to capital gains tax, right? The difference between what I paid for it and what I bought it, you know, what I sold it for. Now, one of the proposals is this thing called capital gains indexing.
Okay.
And what that is, so right now, even if I bought it 20 years ago if I bought it for $1,000 and I sold it now for $10,000, you know, $10,000 minus $1,000 equals $9,000. Well, indexing means, well, when I bought it for $1,000 20 years ago, that's the equivalent of maybe $3,000 today.
Correct.
So now if I sold it for $9,000 and we have this thing called capital gains indexing, that means that I only pay capital gains on the difference between $10,000 and $3,000.
Because of appreciation?
Because of inflation. Basically.
Inflation.
They're saying, okay, you know, the inflationary change indexing of the basis there. So that's another thing that if you hear that being passed or in the new law, that's something to really pique your interest up, because that would really lessen capital gains tax exposure for a lot of farmers.
Because in the event that somebody passes away, or would this be pre-death?
This would be pre-death. Yeah,
yeah, that's right. That's right. It would be pre-death.
But you are right in the sense that, you know, when you die, if you die owning it, if it's part of your estate, you do get an adjusted or a stepped up cost basis for capital gains purposes.
And
you know, to sum it up, essentially it wipes away the capital gains on your assets. And if they sell it after your death, there's very little capital gains exposure.
That's correct.
So that's something where if you do hear that, it might be, and you know, once they do pass some tax legislation next year, you know, we hold seminars on it. We send out letters to our clients kind of saying what occurred. But if you do hear this thing called capital gains indexing, that might be something to think about talking with your accountant about if that does happen.
If this were to happen, and let's say that there was a lowering of the capital gains tax, do you think that there would be a huge turnover in capital investments versus if there wasn't? Say it went from 20% down to 15, or that there was such a thing as capital gains indexing?
Yeah, I think that it would. I think you'd see a boom in the, and I'm not an economist, but I think you'd see a boom in the stock, but kind of like that boom in the stock market we saw right after the election. Once this new tax law gets solidified, I would suspect another boom if some of these things that I'm talking about are in that, because Wall Street generally likes it when taxes are more favorable, especially taxes like capital gains tax, which are what you pay mostly on investments.
Right.
I could see it becoming, you know, a favorable time to, if you were holding off selling, maybe now is a better time to sell in 2026, for example. Right.
I think it would be very favorable to somebody who is retiring, and it might encourage more retirements, maybe not selling land, for example, but that would be very helpful on the machinery side, is as if there was, would the indexing be applicable to machinery, do you think?
Yeah, typically, you know, anything that would be, and now there's a mix with ordinary income and capital gains on machinery and certain equipment. And it depends on how you depreciated that. And next segment, we'll talk about the depreciation options that are going to be most likely offered back again as well. And then, you know, the estate tax, you know, when you die, everyone is subject to estate tax, but we all have a credit to use against it, or an exclusion amount. And that amount right now is $13.61 million per person, right? But that was going to get cut in half in 2026. Right. But now it's
Massive cuts that were on the block for that.
Huge, yeah. And the estate tax is one where if you do hit it, it's essentially a 40% tax. So it's something that can really come in and be a big pain if you do hit it. And, you know, in the next segment, I'll kind of start off and tell you about, you know, there's four primary ways the estate tax is going to go. And I think one of those things is going to happen, but most likely scenario is that it'll be more favorable than before.
Folks, Andrew Knutson from Thompson Law Firm right here in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, is my guest on The Legacy of Agriculture. We're coming down to the end of our second segment. Again, thank you, Andrew, for joining us. We're almost halfway through the show, and we're going to take a break here for a few minutes, and then we're going to come back and talk a little bit more about business taxes. But shout out to our sponsor, Pfeiffer Auction and Realty. We appreciate them for sponsoring The Legacy of Agriculture. And we're going to be back in just a few minutes.
Hey, this is Jasmine at Pfeiffer's Auction, Realty, and Land Management. Pyfers offers multiple ways to bid and buy at our equipment and land auctions. You can bid online, in person, or place pre-bids before the sale even starts. By providing convenient bidding platforms, we make sure that you can buy the items or parcels you want the way you want to. Visit Pyfers.com to see a complete list of our auctions. When it comes to bidding, go with Pyfers. Nobody does it better.
We're back. I'm Chris Baer, your host of The Legacy of Agriculture. Andrew Knutson has joined me on The Legacy of Agriculture. I'm tripping over my words just a little bit, Andrew. It's been a couple of weeks since I've recorded one of these shows. And so you have to remember that it takes a certain mindset to do this. And sometimes you come into a segment and my mind just quite hasn't caught up. So I'll trip at it. And there's a couple of times in a previous segment where I did that, but I was interested in listening from a student perspective rather than a show host. And then I go, I got to talk, right? So anyways, in this segment, we're going to dig into business and farm taxes. We talk a little bit about depreciation. Carry on from the last, in our last segment, we had talked about capital gains indexing, how that was going to affect agriculturists throughout our listening audience and throughout the nation. So let's talk a little bit more about depreciation and what you're anticipating in that world with our farmers.
Yeah. And I'll talk a little bit about the first year bonus depreciation, it's called. And then after that, we can touch base on estate taxes and wrap that up. And you know, because there was part of this Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, starting in 2018, was the idea of 100% first-year bonus depreciation, right? So if I buy a piece of machinery and I put it in service in that year, I can depreciate it up to 100% of its value, right?
In year one.
Yes,
right?
Whether you paid cash or not.
Right, yeah.
Okay.
And so what happened then is that starting in 2023, they started to dial that back. I can only, you know, depreciate 80% in 2023. In 2024, I can go down to 60%. Next year, it's going to drop down to 40%. And then it was going to keep going and go down to zero in 2027.
Okay.
So the idea here, though, is that that Section 179, that 100% depreciation option, that's back on the table most likely. So it's most advisors assume and think that as part of the new tax act in 2025, they're going to bring this back.
Okay.
And so for farmers, that means they're going to bring back the ability to do 100% depreciation in year one.
Okay.
And so, you know, that generally is, you know, people like that. People tend to use it. It's something that, you know, we can all use depreciation. It lowers our income tax rates. And it helps you plan for you know, bigger years, right? And, we have a good enough year that I want to buy another piece of equipment and I can use that to offset this otherwise higher income and things like that, that you have at your disposal. So that's probably going to come back into play.
Okay.
When we're also talking about deductions, there's one deduction, and we're going to get back into the kind of the estate realm here. So when somebody dies, their assets are all valued, and the valuation has to be fair market value. So, you know, if I have 1,000 acres, I'm typically having to value those at their fair market value, not production
right.
value.
Right. And fair market value is just so everybody knows and understands that fair market value is not necessarily auction value. It's the value that's put on a piece of equipment or a piece of land where you have a willing buyer and a willing seller, and there's certain criteria that the IRS follows in order for something to be valued at fair market value. So it's really important to have a good appraiser, right?
Absolutely right, yes. And, you know, when you're talking about a federal estate tax, is that, you know, those acres at fair market value can start to add up really quick, especially if you have farmland that's, you know, near a larger metropolitan area and other factors that make that land a lot more valuable than the farming aspect of it is. Right.
Right.
And so there's this deduction when somebody dies called the 2032A special use deduction. And typically that's a way to reduce the value of your farmland. So for example, instead of it being at all at fair market value, this 2032A allows you to value it based on its use rather than the fair market value. So, hey, using this land for agricultural purposes is not as valuable as if I use this for, you know, single family house development or something.
Correct.
Right? And so, but right now that's capped at about 1.4 million. So meaning that I can only reduce the value of my land 1.4 million based on this deduction. There's talk that, and that's the way, and that's adjusted for inflation, and it's been that way for decades. But in reality now, with the fact that land prices, the fair market value of land based on outside investment, real estate trust investments, and growth of cities and things like that, and larger farm corporations and out-of-country investment, you know, farmland has really gone up, right, in the last 10 years especially. So they're looking at, we need to allow farmers to value this land based on its use, not its fair market value, right?
Yeah, and that's especially in the very, very rural areas. It might not change a whole lot, but in and around urban development is where this deduction really comes into play, because it's really not fair to value a 80-acre section based on that it's 500 yards away from a shopping center. It has to be valued for its current use.
Yeah, and right now, if I want to reduce the value of my estate for estate tax purposes, I'm capped at, I'm only able to reduce it about 1.4 million based on this deduction, where they're talking about upping it to maybe the estate tax level. So basically next year, that'd be 14 million. So that'd be huge as far as being able to really reduce the value on paper so that we're not having to pay, this 40% estate tax on land that we don't plan to sell, right? That's where it gets you. And there's another conversation for another day about there's many different ways to reduce and mitigate the an estate tax bite through good planning, right? But this deduction alone would be a big deal if they were to increase it substantially like some of the rumors are.
Right. Well, and it'd be nice if we could do that with property tax.
Right? Yeah, I wish. Yeah.
So with this depreciation, are you anticipating that this will happen then?
I am anticipating they will be adjusting this in some way. Absolutely. I don't know if it's going to be as high as 14 million, but I really do think they'll hit at it because, the farmers are the ones that are kind of getting hit harder than other areas when it comes to the estate tax world.
Yeah. Awesome. Hey, folks, this is Chris Baer, your host of The Legacy of Agriculture. Andrew Knutson from Thompson Lawn here in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, is my guest today talking about taxes and what's coming in 2025 and 2026. We'll be right back.
Hey, this is Jasmine at Pfeiffer's Auction Realty and Land Management. Pfeiffer's offers multiple ways to bid and buy at our equipment and land auctions. You can bid online, in person, or place pre-bids before the sale even starts. By providing convenient bidding platforms, we make sure that you can buy the items or parcels you want the way you want to. Visit Pfeiffer's.com to see a complete list of our auctions. When it comes to bidding, go with Pfeiffer's. Nobody does it better.
Folks, this is Chris Baer, your host of The Legacy of Agriculture. Andrew Knutson is in studio. I'm actually in your conference room here in Sioux Falls recording this show. I know that you're a very, very busy man. And again, in this last segment, I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule. We're having a great conversation in our last segment about depreciation, the possible changes that are coming in those statutes and in those laws that are governing depreciation. I'm going to turn this back over to you and let you finish your thoughts and then talk a little bit about corporate taxes.
Yeah, so I'll hit on a couple things here. One is we had talked about the estate tax, right? And that was set to the exemption we have to use against it was going to get cut in half. And the likely scenario this next year is that they're probably going to, one of four things. Number one, they might just extend the current law, meaning that it's 13.61 million right now. It'll be 14 million and change next year, and that'll just keep adjusting for inflation. Okay. Another option, though, is that number two is that they talk about changing the rate, lowering the rate from a 40% tax to a 20% tax.
Okay.
The third thing is that there's actually a bill in the House right now that is seeking to repeal the estate tax completely. So no estate tax whatsoever. That's probably unlikely to pass, but it wouldn't be shocking for that to pass, given right. the fact that there's majority right now that there might be some appetite for that.
Okay.
And then the fourth scenario is that there is enough infighting that they don't get to the tax reform by the end of the year and we hit a fiscal cliff. So let's hope that doesn't happen, but that's things like that have happened before. So let's hope that that doesn't occur. But, you know, there's
one thing out of Washington, D.C., there's always a surprise somewhere. Yes.
It's kind of hard to say, but right. hopefully, you know, there's enough momentum around getting this done that I think that's going to pass. And then, you know, right now, there's these corporate tax rates they're eyeing as well. And in 2018, prior to 2018, C corps. So you have corporations, and they can be taxed as C corps or S corps. C corps were the income tax rate was 35%, and then in 2018 it dropped to 21%. And you know, one of Trump's proposals is to cut the top rate to 20 instead of 21, and then also maybe drop it to 15% for C corps that make their products in the United States, and that also would include farmers typically.
Okay.
So there's a chance here that, and the corporate rates were not going to expire, but oddly enough, there's a real chance that the corporate rate on the C corps could drop to 15%, and which would encourage possibly a lot of farming operations to actually, you know, bite the bullet and incorporate. Right. Become a corporate structure, because right now you might have been farming for the last several decades just as a sole proprietor, right? Or a general partnership. And, you know, there's sometimes we incorporate as LLCs and they get taxed as S-corps. But what I anticipate is that, you know, pay close attention to what does get passed on the corporate rates, because depending on what does get passed, you might need to relook or be really worth your while to relook at your business operational structure, right? So maybe the land, you know, that's a totally separate deal typically, but I'm talking about farming operations. And your operations, you might have some real tax incentives to incorporate where you didn't before, and in a way that would reduce your taxes just by doing, incorporating into a business structure.
One thing that I'd like to really talk about, Andrew, and I'm gonna take a hard right turn here, that I think is really, really important in the last 3 or 4 minutes of our show here, is the importance, and we've dove pretty deep into some of these taxes and what we're anticipating will happen, but I want to talk to you and tell our listeners how important it is to sit down with a professional with your attorney, with your accountant, and create an estate plan. You said something that was very interesting. You says business operational structure. There's a lot of people out there that we've come across over the years that don't have a structure in place. Take the last couple of minutes and tell us why that is so important.
Yeah, and when you're talking about, you know, there's a lot of times we separate the ownership of land from the business operations. Sometimes it's all together, but that's something where each and every family, it's very what we call fact specific, right? Everybody has
unique.
A little bit different, unique, right?
Unique.
And so sometimes I look at some of these farming operations and we look at, you know, different structuring ways to do it. They could be an LLC taxed as a partnership, and maybe that's their best route. Maybe they're an LLC taxed as an S-corp, or maybe they're a corporation. And any of those structures can result in a more, not only more orderly succession for when people retire and pass on, and but much more for during life and right now, even this year, right? So you switching to a corporate structure not only provides a better mechanism for orderly succession and more options for things like retirement, right? Okay. While you're alive, but it also might make your taxes more favorable the next year, even that soon, right? So a lot of good, you know, we always say we do estate and business planning, and a lot of times that business planning side gets overlooked, but there are a lot of ways through good business planning where, yeah, you know, it seems like you're getting a little bit more formal than you want to be, but by the end of your first season dealing with it, it's old hat. And you've got now a good structure in place that gives you more options, lower taxes, better expenses. And, you know, from a standpoint of there's the taxes, there's the liability protection, there's the retirement options, there's the what happens when somebody dies, that can all be addressed by good corporate structure. And when you're in a climate like this where that also, you know, what one thing that's interesting I noticed with a lot of farming operations is that if for people that farm with siblings or cousins or kids, sometimes we're not, you know, a lot of times machines
or exes.
Or exes. Crystal clear on who owns how much of what machinery, right? Or piece of equipment.
I mean,
we all use this.
We run into that all the time.
Oh, yeah. Whose name is it in? Well, it doesn't have a title, you know? Yeah. So sometimes a corporate structure can make that really clear too, right? So now if the business owns it, oh, we know that dad owns 60% and the junior owns 40% or something.
Andrew, unfortunately, we're running out of time, but I want you to give us your contact information, your telephone number here to Thompson Law, your email address, how to get a hold of you.
Sure. 605-362-9100 is our phone number. You know, cathompsonlaw.com. If you Google Thompson Law in Sioux Falls, we'll come up. And if anybody wants to send me a personal email, it's andrew@cathompsonlaw.com. But again, I just want to thank you for having me. It's been fun. And yeah, there's just a lot to talk about in today's world.
We're going to be back here probably in mid part of 2025. And we're going to do another great show with Thompson Law and estate planning, because it is so critically important to have a plan. Give Thompson Law a call. I'm Chris Baer, your host of the Legacy of Agriculture. Thank you for joining us on this late fall day, and we'll be back.
In it here now, I'm gonna do now, I'm gonna be on here now, hoping $500,000 bid.
We hope you've enjoyed today's edition of The Legacy of Agriculture with Chris Baer, sponsored by Pfeiffer's Auction, Realty, and Land Management. Call Pfeiffer's at 605-836-2277.